And welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU. It's a little bit after 12 noon, and we're going to play some music right now. Hit it, DJ. And I don't want to go home right now. And all I can taste is this moment. And all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't.
Now you're falling in love.
Let me go now.
This feeling's starting me up.
Here we
them Belgian folk. I love the way she plays it cool. I think that she is beautiful. She's so lovely, 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 she's so lovely. She's pretty, a fitty. She's got a boyfriend though, and that's a pity. She's flirty, turned 30. Ain't that the age a girl gets really dirty? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I love the way she bites her lip. I love the way she shakes them hips. I love the way she makes me drool. I think that she is beautiful. She's so lovely, she's so lovely, well, she's so lovely, she's so lovely, she's so lovely, she's so lovely. A stunner, I wonder, was she this fit when she was 10 years younger? Come see me discreetly. She said she's got a trick or two to teach me. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how I make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I think that you are lovely. 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 She's so lovely, she's so lovely, she's so lovely, she's so lovely. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know how we'll make it through this.
And welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special. And today, honored to have the recently elected student body president and student body vice president, the president Michael Cruz, the vice president Stuart McGregor Dennis. Gentlemen, welcome to KZSU.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you guys, especially on this holiday Monday when school's not in. I thought you guys would be down at Cabo San Lucas or something, man. You didn't go anywhere?
It's just dedication to the student body, really.
There you go.
Oh, there you. That'll get you some votes. You guys were recently elected. As a matter of fact, Stuart, you were on these airwaves. What, it was about a month ago, month and a half ago, right after the election, right?
Yeah, that's about right.
And it's a great little story how it worked out over here. Let's do this though. The music we just played. The first half of this show, Stuart, we're going to let you pick the tunes, and the second half, we're going to let Michael pick the tunes. And what did you play for the folks right there?
So right there, I played three songs. The last one you just heard was "She's So Lovely" by Scouting for Girls. Second last one was "Shake It" by Metro Station. It's one of the songs that I heard when I first woke up at Stanford on Stanford pre-orientation trips. That's a song they woke me up, so great connotations there. And then the last one was "Iris" by Goo Goo Dolls.
All right, and Michael Cruz, I'm assuming you brought some very interesting music today too, right?
I did.
Good. Did you take a long time planning it out?
A little bit.
Yeah, well, you're busy, too. You're the student body president. And just briefly, what are you studying here at Stanford?
So I'm a history major with an honors in ethics and society.
Wow. And you're also the student body president thing is a whole separate deal from your studies, right?
Whole separate deal, sir.
And you're part of the, part of the issues you're going to deal with is undergraduate student outreach and improving student life. And at the bottom of the hour, I want to get into that. I want to find out about student life here. But let's play some more music from Stuart McGregor Dennis, the student body vice president here on campus. What do you got, Stu?
So this next one was one that I heard over the summer and kind of was definitely connected with the entirety of it. It's Just a Dream by Nelly.
Cool.
Open. There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scene. Sadi Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Brim full of Asher on the 45. Well, it's a brim full of Asher on the 45. Promotion of the civil life of the damn bad building. Grim fool of Asher on the 45. Well, it's a grim fool of Asher on the 45. Everybody needs a bosom. Everybody needs a bosom for a pillow. Everybody needs a bosom. Everybody needs a bosom for a pillow. Everybody needs a bosom. I'm from the 45.
All right, welcome back. Another edition of the Lunch Special. Today, very special one, especially on a holiday Monday, because we have the current student body president, Mr. Michael Cruz, and the current student body vice president. They ran as a pair, and it's an amazing story how it took place. And we're going to hear about that. But Stuart McGregor, that was your set right there, and that was songs you picked. Talk about that last set. Who was all that?
So that last one was Brimful of Asher, and that's just one of the songs that that makes me feel really good. So although it's past midday here for us college student, it feels pretty early. So I was just trying to play some pump up music and feel good in the early in the morning.
What's your earliest class?
My earliest class is 11 a.m.
Oh wow!
It's pretty tough.
So you don't have to get up at like 6 or 7, do you?
See, I've tried to take 10 a.m. classes before.
Not working?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in high school, it would be like 5 to 9, so it was ridiculous. But I think as the years have gone on, so has my sleep pattern gotten later on as well.
Well, wait till you get to the work world. That'll all change. Michael Cruz, you're in the house, the current student body president, 2011-2012. How's that feel?
It's a really amazing experience. Really excited to be working with Stuart and the whole student body, and really just get a chance to help serve Stanford and work with great organizations like KZSU.
Now, you mentioned that you're a history major on the last mic break, and did you have any plans at all to go come into campus politics when you got here?
No, not really. So I came into Stanford. I knew I wanted to, you know, get involved with some student groups, figure out, you know, my little niche on Stanford. So I tried out a bunch of things. I wrote a little bit for the Daily at a point, a few different cultural groups, a dance troupe or two. But I really found a niche in the student government and just really found a way to connect with a lot of people and talk to hundreds of Stanford students all at once.
And you had to become a senator first to be able to run for president?
No, you don't have to be a senator to run for president, but,
it helps.
Helps a little bit, and, you know, I wanted the experience. I wanted to make sure that if I was going to do it, I did it 100%.
Yeah, both Michael and I had some experience in the ASSU before. Michael, though, he's not the one to say it, but he's had incredible depth. You know, he was an exec fellow as a freshman. Then he was on the Senate. Then on the Senate again as Senate chair. Then last year he also stepped in to fill the void when the VP had to step down. So he was vice president, and now he's president. So when he's talking about how he's found his niche, it's a pretty big niche for Michael.
Very interesting. Now, Michael, we have your iPod queued up. Now, we're going off iPods today. And Blue, the producer, didn't want me to mention that, but it's okay. Now, what do you got queued up for the folks, Michael? And is there a theme to the music you brought? Or is this just stuff you like that you listen to when you're around the crib or what?
So this is all music that I like, that I listen to a lot, and it's all Stanford artists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And yeah, you were talking about that with Mike. Apparently, there's quite a few Stanford bands, huh?
There are quite a few. So I've got two artists queued up. One is Pomplamoose,
mm-hmm.
And that's Natalie Dawn and Jack Conti, class of, I think, 09.
Okay.
And the other is Andrew Plan, who is a single artist, and he is class of 2010.
Well, go ahead and turn it on.
Trying to keep your chin up, no point losing face. Don't you like what's on your plate? It's not free. Shaking fists at this debate. Woe is me. Woe is thee. It's all for show.
Woo! supposed to mean?
Just what I say.
I guess that I should have known. Throw the first stone. If you feel perfect today, oh, I'd like to get over. I'd like to get over you. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Okay, back now with the current student body president and vice president, President Michael Cruz. That was your set, Michael.
That was.
Who was all that?
So those three songs were all by Pomplamoose, which is a Stanford band, two Stanford grads, Natalie Dawn and Jack Conti. And those three songs were Centrifuge, Beat the Horse, and Expiration Date.
And you also mentioned that one of the Stanford bands got a major record contract, and they moved up north.
They did.
Is that a common occurrence around here? Are there bands at Stanford being formed by students and then going on to greater success?
I'm not sure, but I know of a few artists here and there that have gotten pretty far. So it's a really great place to be at Stanford. A lot of great artists.
Very interesting. Well, we have the student body president, the current, and current student body vice president, Michael Cruz, the president, Stuart McGregor Dennis, the vice president. Well, we have you guys here together. Let's talk a little bit about student government. You guys had to run for office, mm-hmm. and you had a hard-fought election. Stuart was here the Monday right after the election. Your pictures were on the cover of the Stanford Daily that Monday. Yep. And it was a big what it is in this instantaneous world of tweeting and Facebook and all that, they actually count the votes the old-fashioned way by hand, right? And you guys had to go through this arduous process of waiting to see who won.
Yep.
And that's what the picture was all about when you guys finally found out you won, right?
They do. So we have an online voting stream, but that has to get confirmed, and they have to recount all the votes. And so there's a big announcement on Saturday around 5 p.m., and they have to go through all of the – they go through everybody's elections, and usually, like, the presidents are last. So, you know, you're just waiting. It's like everybody else gets called up.
They built it up. The tension in the air was just crazy. Because I basically went to sleep straight away after the voting ended, and then slept for like 19 hours or something like that.
Wow.
Then woke up, talked with a friend, and walked over. But they gradually built up the tension and popped it right at the end.
Now, Stuart, when you were here last time, you talked about how you guys actually did it. I asked, and now I want to ask Michael that same question. How did you guys actually pull this off? I know you had to go shake hands. It's not all Twitter and Facebook now, is it?
No.
You got to go face-to-face, meet the people, right?
The face-to-face, the meet the people, that human aspect, that's really what wins and loses an election. Because, you know, everybody can do this Facebook stuff, this Twitter, social media. And it's all really important because it's how you get your three touches and your message out there. But what really matters and what really gets people like excited about your campaign, really gets people excited about what you're about, is really that human touch, you know, going to dining halls, going to people's dorms, meeting with them, talking with them about their needs, their wants, and how they vision Stanford.
And is that how you beat your opponent? Did you do more of that than they did?
You know, you never can know. You never can know how these things work out. So I think it was a combination of a lot of different things, for sure.
Yeah, I think that was a huge factor. I also think having a very compelling vision was important as well. And I think it's the kind of Stanford 2.0 of creating a human-centered innovation platform that student government can be.
You're going deep on us now, man. This is heavy. Stuart McGregor, the vice president, speaking there. Now, Stuart... that's what I want to know. You said it was having a greater vision than your opponent. So what was your guys' vision? What do you think got over with the folks? What was it that you guys told them?
So
ours was we ran under Stanford 2.0, which incorporates has a lot of connotations from the Web 2.0 movement, which is really about innovation, progress, results, kind of putting a turning point as well. But really what it comes down to is... is part of the vision of trying to become the world's most innovative student government, where we're taking in all these different sources, such as the D-School, design thinking, entrepreneurship, social innovation, all this different stuff, and drawing upon the history that Michael has in his head, all this experience, and trying to really re-envision student government as something a little bit more than that.
Now, how much have you guys implemented of your vision since you took over?
So, you know, we've really just begun just a few weeks ago, so we're really in the midst of really building a really strong team of Stanford leaders to talk about, who are really involved in their community. So we have a community action board made up of leaders in each of the major communities at Stanford University. And, you know, we have really excited leaders, people who are interested in social entrepreneurship, sustainability, public service, diversity, who really want to kind of push this vision of Stanford, of building on our historical past and using this innovation and this design thinking to really make sure that we have a very innovative and very efficient and very effective student government in the next year.
Yeah, in terms of implementation, it's really been incredible so far. We've attracted unbelievable talent, and we've completely just radically restructured how the executive runs its office, but also drawing and building upon previous years. Now, so we're really laying the foundations right now.
Now, Michael Cruz, the president, on your webpage, well, on your bio at the Stanford website, it says part of your issues are improving student life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you see that? What was it that you felt needed improving? And what do you plan on doing to improve it?
For sure. I mean, you know, first off, like, we have it really, really good here at Stanford. And, you know, but we just see this so many places where, like, you know, we can really connect students to really great resources. You know, we were talking during the last break about bringing in Stanford bands for a live Wednesday for bringing them in for a live Wednesday.
Yeah, apparently so many Stanford bands don't know that we have a Wednesday night live program where we have live bands in the studio, and we don't see a lot of Stanford bands here.
Exactly. So connecting, you know, Stanford bands who want to get their music out there to, you know, get a chance to kind of figure out their sound, you know.
What else do you want to do to improve student life on campus? And I'm not saying it from the standpoint of, I didn't think you were implying that it wasn't that good before you came in. No, like you said, you got it damn good here. Exactly. And I know you guys do. They feed you great, get a great education, you got a million things to do and stay busy. But there must be something that you're looking at. That's why you said that, improving student life.
And a quick comment just before Michael continues as well, is that even though things seem incredible for students, there's a lot of,
improvement?
No, but most students are really struggling underneath as well. You have this duck syndrome, whether it be loneliness, whether it be cases of sexual assault on campus, whether it be mental depression.
Wow.
There are some pretty tough issues that student government can really make an impact on.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting to the meat of it. So what do you guys see as part of your vision for helping that stuff like that out? That's some serious issues there.
Exactly. You know, these issues of like sexual assault, sexual violence on campus, you know, they're just unacceptable for Stanford, and unacceptable for kind of the Stanford we want to see. So working with administration, working with faculty, working with student leaders who work on these issues to really find ways where the ASSU can help address those, to raise a greater culture. Because, you know, the ASSU has connections to almost every single student group on campus. So making sure that these student to making sure that, you know, we instill kind of a culture of respect, a culture of dignity across Stanford.
And beyond sexual assault, which is a very important issue.
Exactly.
You guys also mentioned like depression.
Yeah.
Like students going through that loneliness, you know. How would you guys deal with that?
So we hired a new chair of health and wellness, great girl named Stephanie, who really wants to look at ways where we can really address health and wellness and people's mental well-being in a way that is authentic to them. So, you know, for some people that's yoga, for some people that's you know, counseling, for some people that's just talking with an RA, with an advisor, just about their lives, to making sure that there's that kind of like constant feedback loop. And making sure that they get the support, that every single Stanford student gets the support that they need to be the best Stanford student possible.
And I think part of Stephanie's vision is really trying to tackle the root causes. So often people try and do superficial things to tackle mental depression, such as maybe holding some events. But really what we need to do is look at the deeper causes, whether it be sleep deprivation, loneliness, unhealthy lifestyle habits, and also just different social interactions and support structures that we have. So if we can really bolster those and take them to the next level and put the ASSU's resources behind it, then I think that's an important issue that we're wanting to work on this year.
Now, with the updated social media, where it makes life for you guys pretty instantaneous. You got to Twitter, you got to all that stuff I've been talking about. Do you think college life has changed that much with the advent of all this social media? Because even 10 years ago, 20 years ago when I got here, there was very little email. We still had pay phones on campus. Now it's all iPods, iPads, cell phones. It's all Twitter. Tell you right now, I got to know right now. Has that changed campus life and the way somebody gets an education? Has it made it better? Are there drawbacks to it? What do you guys see?
Michael's the historian, so I'll let him take this one.
I think for sure it's really changed the way that Stanford Stanford runs. Now we kind of live in a culture of
instantaneous culture.
So we have you're on 24/7.
Right.
Whether it's 5 a.m., 6 a.m.,
yeah,
4 in the afternoon.
What's news? News exactly. Is like, well, I heard that 20 minutes ago, man.
Exactly.
How do you guys deal with that?
It's interesting. We use it. I think students use it as a great tool to get word out to get word out, to get messaging out about various initiatives that they're working on, really cool events. But we also use it, as a procrastination tool in a way to kind of lighten up the mood. So I think it works well. I think the social media, I think it's really had a great impact on Stanford in terms of, helping connect other people to great initiatives and programs on campus and still keeping it lighthearted, not making it too serious, and really just kind of keeping up with this kind of like Stanford, California vibe.
It did help you guys get elected too, didn't it?
A little bit, certainly didn't hurt.
And just to talk from the tech dude's perspective as well, for sure it's a double-edged sword, but I think the net gain is huge, and you can cut some pretty awesome stuff up with it. I'd say that it empowers us, in terms of email. I'm just like 10 times more efficient because I don't have to meet with every single person. Phones, I can just text Michael throughout the day and be like, hey, how's this going? How'd your meeting go?
Right.
So I'd say it makes us a lot more productive, even if it can be distracting at times.
Can it isolate one too, though?
For sure that can happen, that's a huge problem, internet addiction. And
I walked into Coho the other day and it was dead silent, full of students. Everybody was on their laptop and they all had headphones on, and maybe two or three were talking to each other. And I'm not criticizing now, I'm just saying that's the way the world's gone. And can that be isolating? Have you guys found that?
I think for some students that can be isolating, tying back into those issues of mental health, loneliness, and wellness at Stanford. But at the same time, this social media also allows people to connect to their friends from home. So, you can Skype in with your parents, with your best friend from home, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, whoever's back home, to really help keep up that kind of home connection while, in this great brand new and strange place.
Yep, it's isolating. At the same time, if we didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to talk with my family 5,000 miles away.
Exactly. Just think how they lived, 20 years ago when you guys were first coming up. All right, before we run out of time, websites, websites or emails, if folks want to get a hold of you from inside or outside Stanford, how can they do it? Michael, let's start with you, Michael Cruz, student body president. Folks want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Sure. Our best website is stanford2.com, which is Stuart and I's website.
Is that the number two, Stanford2.com?
Yeah, STANFORD and then the number 2.com.
Okay.
And all of our contact information is up there, our email addresses, phone numbers, etc. Our Twitter and Facebook stuff as well is up there as well.
So they can get a hold of you too, Stuart, as well on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, just hit up Stanford2.com.
Okay. We're going to have time for one more song on the way out. We want to let everybody know you can hear a rebroadcast of this show always. All the shows are up on the website radioforall.net. That's radio, the number 4, all.net. All our shows are posted there, and for all you guys and your friends too, just tell your friends. And we want to thank the producer Blue for that, and we want to thank you guys Michael Cruz and Stuart McGregor Dennis, and please come back. And we'd like to have the whole Senate here if possible sometime.
That'd
so,
be awesome.
Yeah,
you know, let's hook it up, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much for having us again.
Thank you. And what are we going out with, Michael?
We're going out with Paris by Andrew Plan.
Sounds great.